This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
And Steve Cochran continues taking a few days off just before the holidays. He'll be back tomorrow. It's Dean Richards filling in here today with Andrea Darles.
Hello, Deanie.
Morning
nice
to
see you.
After a couple of days off.
Yeah, you know, I was telling you, I actually went to shopping to the brick and mortar stores for the first time in years.
I can't even believe Andrea, you're still alive.
I'm telling you, I've never again. I could see why there's online shopping now. People are crazy.
You're just now realizing why there's online shopping?
Well, there's lines, and then every store you go to, there's, you know, where there are multiple cashiers, they're not open. They all just pile everybody in the one line.
Right.
I had to do a return already. I bought my aunt a robe. She's doing some rehab, and I thought, oh, a nice, warm, fuzzy robe. I'm going to get her. I bought the robe that was on sale because it was prettier. It wasn't your typical terry cloth robe. It had blue and pink flowers on it.
Oh, that's nice. Isn't that nice, Andy?
Very nice.
That sounds nice.
I got it home, and it said, thank you for buying the such-and-such bridal collection, and it alluded to the fact that, you know, you, just like the bride, could get lucky on the night of the wedding.
Okay. What?
So I had to return that, and I got the pink terry cloth.
I don't think you can go wrong with a nice pink terry
maybe
cloth.
Maybe it would have been good for her there. Helped with the rehab.
All right, now. Come on, now.
Well, let it put her back in rehab.
Yeah.
Well, we got to chat more about the shopping. So I had similar experiences yesterday in some of the stores. We'll get to all that in a minute. We wanted to start off today with probably what is the top story in the world right now, this horrible terror attack in Berlin. A truck attack that killed 12 people, 48 others injured. And Tom Rivers from ABC News joining us on the line right now in Berlin, Germany. Tom, first of all, like, what is when something like this happens in a city like Berlin? Can you sort of feel it with the regular activity, people's activities, you know, just before the holidays and so forth?
It certainly, right before the holidays, it really, really hits you in the gut. And it's the feeling that I experienced in Paris in November, Charlie Hebdo nearly 2 years ago in Paris, in Nice in France. People are subdued, and people want to be joyful and happy. And these markets are wonderful places. If you want craft beer, if you want special handcrafted toys for the kids, it is beautiful stuff, and it's a hell of a damper put on people right now. But the markets are opening up. There's dozens of them throughout Berlin. They're open for business today. They don't have time to put up the elaborate barricades, the cement barricades, etc. But there's a large police presence. I'm about 200 yards away from the site of the attack, and armored police are out there, and people are thankful of that. The vans were out all night. So, yeah, more police around the streets. That's all they can do this time. And, of course, whoever was behind this, the perpetrator or perpetrators, at large, as we speak right now.
Yeah, ISIS has claimed responsibility for it. What do we know about the actual person who committed the crime? Have there been, witness descriptions, et cetera?
Yeah, well, this story is taking some weird twists and turns. I'll cut to the chase. It looked like an individual, very courageous individual, followed a human being that jumped out of the cab and ran about a mile away to a park here. Lost sight a couple times, but got to the park, found a person that thought that's the person, based, I guess, upon clothing, on build, et cetera, told the authorities, got the guy in, detained him, questioned him. Turns out, forensically, he denied everything, and forensically, didn't match fingerprints, didn't match DNA with the cab with this guy. He was released, so it's back to square one. Der Spiegel, the respected media outlet here, is running with a story today saying that an ID card has been found in the cab under the seat there of a Tunisian man in his early 20s, said to be on the run right now. The police have not commented on that yet, so it's not official, but Der Spiegel is pretty on top of things. So, take that one and file it, and we'll see maybe in the next couple of hours what the police say.
All right. Well, we'll be keeping an eye on the wires and listening for your reports. It's a shame. It's a shame any time of the year, but especially around the holidays. And I was in Berlin for the first time last year. We were doing some interviews there. It's a beautiful city. Yeah. It's an absolutely lovely city.
And gorgeous.
Lovely yeah. people. And how horrible that this dark shadow now is cast on their city.
Exactly. And yeah, very hospitable. And that's a great word to describe the great majority here. And, having what's happened, they're still open to people coming to their town. But it's going to be a body blow. And, yes, there have been makeshift memorials, the candles that you see spring up at these locations. We're seeing that again played out here, this time in Berlin. And everybody, Dean, is saying over here, the experts in the security field say, guess what? You look at the numbers, the sheer numbers of individuals that went to places like Syria or Iraq. Not all of them have been killed. Some of them are going to be coming home. And this is not going to be the last story, sadly, in this long saga.
Yeah, I'm afraid that that's correct. Tom Rivers is live in Berlin with us this morning. Tom, thank you very much for the update, and we'll be listening for more as it's released to you later on in the day. Thank you so much.
Take care.
I was at our Chris Kindle on Monday when this happened, when I was shopping around.
It's got to be a little creepy when you're at something
right.
similar to where a crime like that takes place.
Yeah, and all the TV stations were coming out and shooting our Chris Kindle Market and Daily Plaza, interviewing people, and some hearing about it for the first time, Dean. It just was an eerie feeling.
Yeah, it's, you think about something like that happening. We've been lucky that we've never really had anything like that here in Chicago, but think about, Orlando, Florida. Think about Paris, as he mentioned, and other places where these random attacks take place, mm-hmm. and really how vulnerable we are to these kinds of things. But how much security do you want to live under
right.
to avoid it all? We'll get into more of it later on at 6:17.
Good life.
6:21.
Full of fun.
Dean Richards for Steve Cochran, 720 WGN. Anybody watch this Tony Bennett special that was on last night on NBC?
I saw a little bit of it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was the greatest show I ever saw in my life.
Now, you saw him at Ravinia last summer, too.
I've seen him
you?
A couple of times.
Me,
but,
too.
I saw him when he was there with Lady Gaga, who was also on the special last night and blew the roof off of Radio City Music Hall. They were celebrating Tony Bennett's 90th birthday, and this song that we're listening to is like from 1962 or 63, something like that. He still sounds exactly like this. He has not, his tonal quality is the same, his performance is the same. Everything is, I just couldn't be a bigger fan.
Oh, he's great.
And, for those of you who didn't see the show, he's turning 90, so people are, performers are coming on and singing his songs, praising him. I spit out food laughing out loud when I see Alec Baldwin doing his Tony Bennett impersonation, hilarious, which was sprinkled throughout the night. They have Regis Philbin and Don Rickles up in the balcony, like the two guys on the Muppet
Show. Oh, yeah, Statler and Waldorf.
Hilarious, yeah. Hilarious. But Andre Bocelli sang to him.
Beautiful.
Kevin Spacey amazes me at what a great singer he is.
Yeah, he is.
He is a really good singer, really good vocalist.
Did he ever do a Broadway stint, didn't he, at one point?
I know he's been in serious plays. Okay. I don't know if he's...
he's good.
I don't know if he's ever been in a Broadway musical, but he's fantastic. But the topper of them all, the last maybe like 20 minutes of the show, something like that, Tony Bennett comes up on the stage. And as my dad used to say, good night, Irene. Right. Shut the door. Amazing. I think he sang The Good Life and I Left My Heart in San Francisco. And he closes the night
so good
with the old James Ingram song, How Do You Keep the Music Playing?
Yeah.
That if you're not in tears listening to Tony Bennett sing that song, you don't have a pulse.
I would highly encourage anyone who hasn't seen him, or if you've seen him at Ravinia, see him again. He usually comes every year. He's just amazing.
So fantastic.
And you hit the nail on the head, Dean. He sounds beautiful. He sounds great. Is it lost a beat?
I don't think there are plenty of good vocalists. I don't think I've ever seen anybody interpret a song, sell you the lyrics of a song the way that he does in such a simple, you know, without fireworks, without pyrotechnics, without all the you know, bells and whistles that every other singer has to use today. It's a guy and a piano, usually a combo. Usually he performs just with a combo. But they had this big, lavish orchestra on stage, Radio City Music Hall. It was just absolutely a fantastic night of entertainment.
I saw an article earlier in the week when they were, you know, talking about this special coming up, and they said, "What's next for you? What do you want to do?" And he said, "Another album with Lady Gaga."
Really?
Yeah.
I know he's very fond of her.
He said he wants to do at least another song with her.
Yeah, and she worships him.
Yeah.
It was very obvious when they performed together, when we saw them at Ravinia, how much she absolutely adores him, worships him, and she said last night that Tony Bennett changed her life. And you can tell that, certainly professionally. When she does standards, Lady Gaga's an amazing performer, also an amazing performer. And when you can tell the influence that Tony Bennett has had on Lady Gaga.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
It's a good night. So good.
Good night of entertainment. You were talking about being shopping yesterday.
Yes.
Almost buying your aunt a nightie?
Yeah, not
on
purpose.
If I am to summarize?
I wanted to get...
You're buying like some kind of novelty...
of course I have to go...
Bridesmaid nightie for your aunt who is in rehab?
In rehab, yeah, poor thing. She,
yeah. It would be the hit of the dining hall, I'll tell you that much.
And I don't even pick, a shopping mall to go to where it's spread out. I went downtown to Macy's, which is eight stories of just... people packed in.
Right.
And then I got off on the floor where they were in line for the Walnut Room, which is wonderful and beautiful, but the line wraps around, and right. I thought, I just need to get a couple of things.
Right.
Yeah, but I did almost buy her I wanted to buy the terry cloth robe, and I bought the bridesmaid. Unbeknownst to me, it was just a pretty fabric. It was like a little silky.
But
I got it
silky.
Home, I'm like, ooh.
That's a pretty fabric. Hello, I'm the pool man. My ma'am, that's a pretty fabric you have.
Here, eat your pudding.
So the clerks at the store, were they okay, or did you say that they were a little indifferent?
They were okay. Most were very nice. The ones at Macy's were great, but I went to a couple of the stores surrounding. You know, the stores where they have more than one register with one person and everybody in that particular line. And then a guy tries to jump in front of the line because he wanted to make a return.
Right.
And everybody in the line gets angry and yells, go to the back. I mean, that was just me. But everybody else in the line was pretty angry about that. It's just, there's so many people out.
And what happens to people when they go to a mall or they go to a store? All of a sudden they can't read.
They lose all social graces courtesy and politeness.
At a mall
and
at airports.
I think there's some magic laser beam or something when you actually pull into the parking lot, because it starts in the parking lot.
Yeah,
that's where the insane behavior.
Yeah. Good call.
Anything goes behavior. I was also shopping yesterday, and like crazy people are like practically causing a car accident so they could get a parking spot.
Right.
It's like, if you want the spot that much, help yourself. I don't mind walking 20 extra feet.
I was going to say,
not that big of a deal to me. if that's important to you. Then I do my shopping and I go to the counter with these completely disinterested millennials behind the counter.
Oh, I had some of that.
And a lot of them are seasonal workers, you know, kids home from college.
Right, right. They should go back to college.
When's my break?
Did you get a lot of that too?
I had two that were talking about where they were going to go party that night.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah, did they at least invite you?
They weren't even looking at me. I'm like standing there waiting to be. They're not even looking at Grandpa trying to check out his stuff. After I get off work, I'm going to go to Crystal's house.
Crystal.
It's a millennial name.
It's true. I
Moonbeam
noticed that.
Moonbeam is having Moonbeam. Get together.
Right. 70s flashback.
They're like, can you just check me out and then you can go back to your conversation?
Don't you notice that more lately when you get to the front of the register? The people behind the register are having conversations with each other about anything. And I'm going, I just want a latte.
Yeah.
How prestigious.
Or they got a headpiece on, you know.
Gotta get my latte.
You guys, bah humbug. You waited till the last minute, that's what you get.
Well, that's true.
It's not last minute, it's the 21st.
Well, it's close to the last minute. You're going to have a lot of lines and all that.
I had an indifferent store clerk a couple of weeks ago. Like that.
You don't want to be indifferent to Shawnee.
No. Shawnee's
the one that's going to go nuts someday. Shawnee's the one that we're going to see on the top of a building one of these days.
He is. He's so calm most of the time.
I've had enough. I'm going to jump.
I was lucky to get a thank you from this person.
Nice.
And they didn't even look at me when they said thank you. So, there. I'm done.
Telling you guys.
I'm calmer now.
We sound like the five oldest, grumpiest people ever.
I remember back in the day.
You kids are here. You can't even say thank you.
Just go online.
We're going to have a break first, right? And then Shawnee's got the big story next on WGN. It's the Steve Cochran Show with Uncle Dean. He's kind of filling in here today. Steve will be back tomorrow. But I think we're going to have a pretty fun show here today. We've got our the Blackhawks Express right now. And then I'm going to run down. I've got like A-listers coming out of the woodwork on the show today.
This is great.
They're like little cockroaches when you turn the lights on. That's how I've got A-listers for you today. I'll tell you all about that coming up in a minute. But first, let's get the exciting details of last night's Blackhawks game, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Take it away.
The Ottawa Senators have won here in Chicago for the first time in 15 years. They hang on and beat the Hawks 4-3 here tonight.
And that concludes our Blackhawks Express.
Quick and painless.
Do we need to say anything more?
Don't need to belabor it,
Andy, about anything last night?
Just that they gained a player back and they lost another player. So Marianne Hossa out with an upper body injury and Corey Crawford active and expected to start Friday after the emergency appendectomy.
But, how's he doing after all that?
He says he's doing fine. We're going to hear from him a little later. He says he's ready to go.
I know these guys are as tough as nails.
Yeah.
After you have an appendectomy.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got to think, especially, I mean, all those guys, I mean, every position is incredibly physical, but especially when you're the goalie.
And you could take a puck right off of, the affected area. So to speak. So it's... these guys are, like you say, though, they're competitors. They want to be out there. They feel like it's the same thing that Ron Santo always told me. He says, if you're not in there, you're not helping the team. You're not helping them win.
I guess that's the attitude.
So they have that attitude. They have to be in there.
Is an appendectomy, would that be considered an upper body or a lower body or injury?
That's right on the equator.
It's kind of
right in
the middle.
Yeah,
it is. Isn't it more? It's just like sort of on the side of your belly button,
left side. Yeah,
like a side body injury,
something like that. Because the opponents are going to be aiming for it, right?
Well, I don't know if you can specifically aim for it with a goalie.
I don't mean with the puck, but I mean when there's going to be physical contact.
And that's the real reason. Everybody wonders why the NHL has adopted this policy of upper body, lower body. It's just exactly because of that. It's targeting. And if you find out that somebody's got a bad wrist, well, there could be a little stick to the wrist. And, a lot of that goes unnoticed in the game. So that's why they went to that policy of just being very nondescript about it, saying upper or lower body.
Yeah, but everybody knew about this.
Well, yeah.
You know?
But I think it's a little different. If it was a position player, a guy that was skating and then had an opportunity to get checked into the boards and things of that nature, I think the recovery would have been a little longer maybe just because, for obvious reasons, just to be very precautious about it. So
that's why I had to give up my career in the NHL.
I know.
As many people remember, I had a promising career years ago.
You were known as Dean Richard, right?
Well, that was my Canadian name.
Okay.
Yeah, Dean Guy Richard. I used to use my middle name, Guy, also.
Yes.
Was it the upper body or the lower body injury?
Both.
That did
turns
it
out,
for you?
Turns out upper, lower, middle, back. Turns out it was everything.
It was a total body.
Yeah, it was a total body replacement that I needed for that. All right. Well, anywho, we have some very clever listeners on the show. The story that you had, the big story about this string of robberies.
Yeah.
Come on, can we stop robbing people for the holidays?
Yeah.
Are you trying to get Charles Dickens to write a play about you?
Boy.
Come on.
It's terrible.
We don't need any Scrooges like that. But the story in particular about the bakery that was robbed, which is a terrible story. I'm not making fun of somebody getting robbed, but I do find it kind of amusing that not only did they rob the bakery, but they also took bakery goods.
I know. It's terrible.
That has prompted some of the Steve Cochran Show listeners to go bakery robbery. The stolen was stolen.
Oh.
Get it?
You guys, it's too soon.
Get it? Get it? The Christmas stolen.
Yes.
The Christmas spread, the sweet Christmas spread. Here's another it's saying that the robbers were stealing dough.
Oh.
Clever. Wow. We've got some comedians here.
That's very funny.
I mentioned that we're going to have a Greek drinking game on the show today. Somebody texts in, take a shot of ouzo every time one of us mentions some kind of Greek mention today.
We could do that.
It says, fun show, Merry Christmas. Thank you very much.
Is this retroactive? So would we have to
this wouldn't be
do
retro,
three shots now?
Okay. Here's you had mentioned the crunchy Greek cookie.
Yeah, what's it called?
That someone reminds us that they are Greek Easter cookies, traditionally kouloudaikia.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the one you're thinking of?
No, I'm thinking of, gosh, I want to say they're paxamadia, but I might be wrong.
Kouloudaikia.
It looks like a biscotti. You know, it looks like a brown biscotti.
Somebody will remember.
Looks like
but I know these kouloudaikia, that if you took one of those, you and I could go rob a bakery right now.
We could.
If we had one of those and knock somebody in the head with that cookie, you'll knock them completely out. and by the way, that's three Greek mentions, so go ahead and take your shots. Opa!
Opa!
Chuck Berry Christmas fun for you this morning. Dean Richards in for Steve Cochran. Normally at this time, I would be on the WGN TV with my scintillating award-winning entertainment reports. And we're going to be joining WGN TV live. This is like the sinking of the Rogue One starship with one of the rebel ships. Trying to bring in some movie comparisons here a little bit.
It's ironic because it's called Dean's Buzz.
Dean's filling in for Steve Cochran on WGN Radio this morning. And we're trying to do one of those things where we step talking and he steps talking.
Right.
And
listen,
hey.
I think it's working.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good to see
you. There's for our radio audience, Robin Baumgarten back at the WGN TV. And a busy night. Normally, this is a really super slow time of year for entertainment. But a lot has gone on, and one of the things involves Chicago's very own Richard Marx. Listen to what this guy did yesterday. Singer by day, action hero by night, as it turns out for Richard Marx. He helped subdue an unruly passenger on a flight from Vietnam to South Korea. Somehow this music makes it more tragic. Marx's wife, who is model and TV host Davy Fuentes, recorded the whole incident and posted pictures on social media. She said that the suspect suddenly started attacking flight attendants and passengers. They restrained the man, but a crew member and two other passengers were hurt during the struggle. A flight attendant was armed with a taser, but Marx said she didn't know how to use it. That's comforting. The man was arrested when the plane landed in Seoul. Chicago's own Bill Murray, bringing Caddyshack to the Chicago area. Bill and his five brothers are planning on opening a Caddyshack-themed bar at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Rosemont. The deal is in the early stages. No opening date has been announced yet. It'll be the second location for the Murray brothers. They already have a Caddyshack bar in St. Augustine, Florida. And J-Lo is walking away from a million-dollar paycheck. Jennifer Lopez is reportedly canceled the performance on New Year's Eve in Miami. Sources tell People magazine that she had a really busy year with her popular Las Vegas residency and other projects. She recently bought a home in Bel Air, California. She plans to spend the holidays at home with her children. Now, on my Dean's List A-List interviews for today, a new movie called Hidden Figures that opens on Christmas Day. This is the untold story of three brilliant African-American women who worked at NASA in the late 1960s, actually so in the early 1960s. They helped launch the first successful space missions crossing gender and racial lines. The film stars Octavia Spencer, the Oscar winner, singer Janelle Monáe, and TV star Taraji P. Henson. I spoke with them recently in New York City about working on this project, and Taraji about shooting her TV series here in Chicago.
Yes. I thought it was historical fiction. The Help was historical fiction. Yeah. So I immediately thought it was fiction. It was, and I'm grateful that it's not.
Hopefully this film can serve as a reminder that we still have things to tackle. I mean, we're still talking about equal pay for women. But the great thing about this film is that it shows us persevering through those obstacles.
Are you having fun in Chicago?
I am. She's the darling of Chicago.
I love Chicago. I have a life in Chicago outside of just acting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the city has really embraced me. I can go into any restaurant.
Yes. Well, let's see.
I'm going
when
with
we
you.
Go visit.
Right.
Let's
I'm
see.
I'm taking you to McDonald's.
I'm going.
There's Taraji P. Henson talking with Octavia Spencer. Janelle Monáe, also featured in this film, Kevin Costner, Jim Parsons, Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory. We're going to hear from them coming up in just a little while. And also, I want to remind, Robin, our radio listeners that tomorrow is our big WGN-TV morning news toy drive. That we donate toys to Jennifer Hudson's Julian D. King Foundation. And Jennifer Hudson, what hour is she going to be on with us on TV tomorrow morning? Do you know? I haven't paid attention in any of the meetings. In the 9 o'clock hour? In the 9 o'clock hour. So Jennifer Hudson live with us tomorrow on TV. And we'll see you later on.
Thanks, Diener.
Thanks, Dean.
There's Robin Baumgarten and Dan Ponce with us talking about Kevin Costner and Jim Parsons. Yeah. We're going to share my entire conversations with them. They play, guys that worked at NASA in the early 60s, leading up to, ironically, the John Glenn orbit of the Earth.
Yeah.
And I actually did these interviews the day after John Glenn died. And John, the character of John Glenn is portrayed in this movie, Hidden Figures. It's one of the new movies opening on Christmas Day, which is really good. I'm going to give it a Dean's List B+. But I've got a couple of Dean's List A's this week. I've got a whole variety, some really good movies, many of which are opening today. Some will open on Friday. Some will open on Christmas Day. But in the next hour, I'll give you my reviews of all these coming up later on.
It's the best time of the year for movies. Yeah. One thing in your entertainment report, did you say J-Lo canceled a $1 million appearance?
Yeah, you know, I'm tired.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I've had a very busy year.
Yeah.
I know I'm supposed to get $1 million for one night's work. But I'm, my feet hurt.
Can she rest on January 2nd, maybe? January 3rd?
She's got a lower body injury.
J-Lo, I'm tired.
Oh, my God.
Must be nice. Yeah. Some of us will be working on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. At 6:57, the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
But you were supposed to get me a refund.
You can't get a refund. Your warranty expired 2 years ago.
So we're going to make the post office pay for my new stereo now?
It's a write-off for them.
How is it a write-off?
They just write it off.
Write it off what?
Jerry, all these big companies, they write off everything.
You don't even know what a write-off is.
Do you?
No, I don't.
But they do. And they're the ones writing it off.
7-Eleven. It's Dean Richards in for Steve Cochran today. Taxman. Time to talk a little cold hard cash here this morning with Lewis Sands with Sikich LLP in Naperville. This is an important time of year to talk taxes. Although it's nothing personal, Lewis. It's my least favorite subject of all time. I can't think of anything I dread more in the entire year than getting ready to prepare all my tax stuff for my tax guy. It's the worst thing in the world.
Well, and that's why, to the extent you can do it now before the end of the year and maybe make it a little better for you, come April's actually worse. So anything you can do now that can make that just a little less painful come.
Very true. And people have a little bit of time. Right. Hopefully they're off a little bit during the holidays, have a little spare time. Go through a receipt or two. Go through some of that paperwork.
Oh,
try to sort it out a little bit, right?
Sure. I mean, realistically, by now you should have a real good handle on what your 2016 is looking like from an income and a deduction standpoint. So, the extent where, if there's one takeaway, it's to just you know, I know it's not a happy conversation that people have, but it's a good time to sit down with your tax professionals and just analyze where you're at, and to the extent where if you can maybe defer some income or accelerate some deductions you were going to spend in a couple of weeks, do it now and save some money in April without a doubt.
Yeah, and I guess if there are two or three things that really people should be doing now for their 2016 returns, what are those things that they should be finishing up before the year's end?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And the first and foremost is to actually just be thinking about it. Like I said, if you're talking with your tax, but to the extent where, you know, listen, you can do someone, I can save you $1 million by having you make a $3 million charitable contribution, but
done. I'm going to do that today.
if that's not going to happen today. Give to litter. If that's what you, if you weren't going to do that, then that doesn't really help you. So really what you want to do is analyze your situation. I mean, it couldn't be, this is all, every year you want to try and grab deductions to the extent you can that are deductible expenses. But you know, with a new tax proposal, with a new president, with any number, can't tell you what's going to happen, but I can tell you that there's going to be a lot of talk about it, and there's the situation is ripe for change come 2017. So, you know, that's a little bit of an unknown, but I think for most people, if any of the proposals we've seen come through, rates are going to go down next year versus where they are this year. So what that means is, to the extent that you can defer income till next year, maybe you'll pay less tax on it, and vice versa. To the extent that you can grab a deduction this year, you'll save that dollar of deduction will be worth more to you this year than it would next year. So
should people be doing anything like with IRAs now, you know, maximizing whatever things that they can do on their own to make 2016 a little easier to take?
Without it, 2016 income won't count towards 2016 income if you make a contribution to a 401k, an IRA, one of these sorts of things. Now, 401k, if you can afford it, I mean, obviously it's cash out of your pocket, and to the extent that you can afford it, you should absolutely do that. Your IRA, you actually have until April or when you file your taxes to make those contributions. But 401k, you know, there's still time. You can go to your employer, for example, and ask that they kick up your withholding on your last paycheck and grab that for 2016, and you won't pay tax on that, so that lowers your tax bill for 2016, and then that money will grow, you know, for a long time, hopefully, and every dollar you put in is going to be worth several more dollars in the distant future when you need it. So without a doubt.
That sounded funny. Go to your boss and tell them, hold more of my money.
They'll do it.
They'll be happy to do it.
Okay.
It just sounds funny. What about for next year now? We do have a president-elect coming. Heaven knows what's going to happen with lots of things, but taxes in particular. What do we know that is going to change for 2017?
Well, one of the things that we don't... It's a lot easier to say what we know versus what we don't know because it's a much smaller list. You know, like, for example, if you've got certain elderly people, you know, medical deductions are only deductible to the extent that they exceed a certain percentage of your income. And for all of us, that's 10%. If you're over 65, it's only 7.5%, but that expires in about a week. So if you've got medical expenses, try and schedule them or take care of that before the end of the year, because it'll be a deduction now versus then.
I heard that this is like the medical profession's busiest week of the year, because people are trying to do that, not only for tax reasons, but to maximize whatever benefits they have for their insurance before the year's end. So good luck getting an appointment, but if you have something for a variety of reasons, before the end of the year is the time to do it.
Sure, and it's not like your doctor is going to be out golfing or anything like
that. No, especially around the holidays, that would never happen.
But that's an excellent point, because if you've got what's an FSA, what's called a flexible spending account, that's the easiest way to remember that is it's use it or lose it. So you don't necessarily have to, you know, you need to incur the expense before the end of the year. When you pay it is a different story. But, you know, if you don't, you know, get a qualified expense for that money that is yours goes away. So that's definitely going to, I don't want to say that's going to change, but that's something that's concrete, that if you don't get those expenses incurred before December 31st at midnight, then that was effectively you threw the money out the window.
Yeah. What about gifts and contributions? Is that still, has something changed where that also needs to be done by December 31st?
You get a certain amount of gifts that you can give to anybody in the world that you won't have to pay gift tax on, and currently you can give everyone $14,000.
Oh.
So, you know, just cut out the checkbook. 28 if you're
Andrea. I don't know if you heard that or not.
No, I did hear that.
Andy and I would be happy to take your gifts before the end of the year.
And it's every year. So, you know, if you wait until January 1st, that still counts, but that's your 2017. So you get it's literally by the calendar year. And any charitable contributions, again, it's a nice overlap between what we know and what we're seeing might happen. A charitable contribution, you know, to a church, to United Way, to a qualified charity, counts as it's a deduction against your taxes if you itemize your deductions. What we're seeing with some of the proposed plans is a cap at $100,000, $200,000 if you're married, where if you incur expenses over that, they're not deductible anymore. We're also seeing the standard deduction, which is something that if you don't itemize your deductions, every one of us gets a standard amount that you just get. That's going to go way up if some of these proposed plans we're seeing exist. So what you could see happening is if you would have had a deduction this year at a lower level when you're itemizing, if they raise that standard deduction, now you find yourself in that and none of your real estate taxes, your home, your charitable contributions, these sorts of things, they're not really deductible anymore because you're not itemizing your deductions. So it's really something that everybody's situation is different. But the same rules apply. So it's really a good time to just take a look at where you're at. And to the extent that you can get something done before the end of the year, you'll only be helping yourself.
Yeah. So is the tax industry enthusiastic about changes that may take place next year? I mean, so much has been said during the campaign season. You don't really know what anybody means anymore or what really is going to happen versus campaign rhetoric. But in a general sense, how do tax professionals feel about what could be coming next year?
You know, just as a general rule, we like change because anytime there's change, it generates. I can't tell you this is in years we haven't had as many conversations with our clients as we are now because everybody seems interested at this point with the election and it's starting conversations, which is never a bad thing. But if things were to stay the same for 10, 20, 50 years, at some point, people would say, oh, this is just the same as it's been last year. You know, maybe I don't even need you guys anymore. So when things change, people have questions and that's there's never been more change potentially at least in the last 20 years than now. I mean, we're talking about AMT going away, estate tax going away, or the Affordable Care, the net investment, Obamacare going away, you know, tax rates changing, all these things just in pure flux. And it's the sort of thing where if the more we can do for our clients, the more we can value add, the more times we can have conversations with them, that's on all three counts. That's a plus. So in that regard, we love it. The flip side of that, that's a very silver line. I mean, anytime something changes, then we got to, you know, open the books and really educate ourselves quickly because we need to be expert on something and educate our clients as best we can.
Yeah, well, if changes are coming, it'll be not for this tax year. It'll be beyond that.
That's right.
So at least that'll offer a little bit of cushion. But if people have other questions, if they want to get more information, what's the best way to contact you?
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah. Sikich LLP. We're headquartered out of Naperville, but we have 20 offices nationwide. And you know, you can just go to our website and you know, aside from doctors, this is one of our busiest times of the year, too. Just everybody trying to get things done before year end. This is ripe time for having client meetings and sitting down. So to the extent anybody has a question or needs to reach out, you know, we're there. Please feel free to contact us.
Good deal. Louis Sands, CPA with Sikich LLP in Naperville. Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Thank you
very much for joining us. We've got Blackhawk tickets to give away. We're going to do that in a few minutes.
Talk a riddle, yeah, come on. Get your Blackhawk tickets, yeah.
It's 7:24. Dean Richards on the Steve Cochran Show. This is my first time with Hawk a Riddle. I'm very, very excited, as you can imagine.
You'll love it. It's a fun segment. It is.
So I have the riddle here. And then we'll take, if you think you know the answer to the riddle, then you call 31. Oh, look at this. There's the phone lines are already phone lines are already jammed.
They know the answer.
Apparently, you know this game way better than I do. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If for some reason you think you can blast through the lines that are already jammed, 312-981-7200 to give it a try. So here is today's Hawker Riddle. I opened my doors in 1925. 3.2 million use me. To avoid the long line, Untouchable Costner. His career about to peak in the same exact location for the end of Civil Streak. Silver Streak.
That's a good one.
Do you know what it is?
I think I know. I think I do.
Andy? Andy holding up the answer. Andy Mazur.
Did I get it right?
Andy Mazur may be correct.
Okay, good.
I will repeat. I opened my doors in 1925. 3.2 million use me. To avoid the long drive, Untouchable Costner. His career about to peak in the same exact location for the end of Silver Streak.
I think I know.
Shh, don't say it. I gave it away one time by accident. I told Dean.
I know.
I accidentally said it on the air, and Steve's like, well, there goes the contest. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thanks.
Write it on a piece of paper, Schwani, and then hold it up.
Let's okay. See. All right. Stand by.
Remember, the show's over at 10 o'clock, by the way.
No, Dances with Wolves is not the answer, Schwani.
That's right. He's going to put 101 Dalmatians anyway.
I was going to say Bull Durham.
It doesn't matter what he puts. This is Steve on the line. From where are you calling, Steve?
I'm calling from St. Charles.
Very nice to have you with us here today. I'll repeat it one more time. I opened my doors in 1925. 3.2 million use me. To avoid the long drive, Untouchable Costner. His career about to peak in the exact same location for the end of Silver Streak. And the answer to our Hawker Riddle today, Steve, is...
Union Station.
You are correct.
Oh, good job.
All right.
Is that what you had, Schwani?
That's right. I did.
You're a genius. That's all I can say.
That was very cleverly worded, by the way. The little riddle.
It's a
very cleverly
done.
It's
not just a riddle. It's a Hawker
riddle. Hawker riddle, yes.
It's not just a riddle. It's a Hawker riddle. Steve from St. Charles, you won a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks take on Colorado this coming Friday, December 23rd. You'll also be entered to win four-season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. You can find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com or on Facebook. And you can listen for your second chance to win a pair of tickets this afternoon on the Ro Khan Show. Steve, does that sound agreeable to you?
Oh, that's so awesome.
Congratulations.
That is so cool.
Congratulations to you, my friend. We wish you a very, very happy holiday, and thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it.
To you too, Dean. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy. We'll take a quick break, update the news, and then part one of my favorite A-list interview of the year coming up in the next half hour here on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh boy, I felt like I just slept through Christmas. What? Hey, wait, did I miss Bozo Gar and Ray WGN-TV? I didn't get a chance to plug that show once. If today is New Year's Eve,
by the way, I watched the full. I've seen snippets of it throughout the years.
Yes,
but I watched the entire episode. It was Thanksgiving
morning right,
where you have the goose walking through the studio.
Right.
It's so good. And I'm not just saying this.
Thank you.
It really kept my attention.
It's a million memories. If you grew up in Chicago, it's a million memories.
Yep.
Going to be repeated on Christmas Eve at 10 p.m.
It's so good.
Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. If you have friends and family around the country, streaming live, WGNTV.com, Bozo, Gar, and Ray, WGN TV Classics.
I like the history, too. I mean, I'm not going to give it away, but the history of Ray Rayner, and the post-its were
real. Those were awesome.
Yep. You know, it was cool.
That was before there actually were post-its.
That's right.
Those were paper clipped to his jumpsuit.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like phenomenal.
Yeah. Interestingly, keeping the Ray Rayner tradition going, John DeCoste, who was here this morning, also rocking the neon colored jumpsuit.
It's awesome. It's
a good look. Yes, and drove in with Cuddly Dudley this morning.
Very nice.
We did a little interview. We did some mail, so it was good.
Very nice. Sean's going to be making some home projects.
Yes.
Later on.
I'm going to make a rose out of netting.
Out of an onion bag.
An onion bag.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's
right. That's what they did. That's what we show on Bozo Garden Ray. He takes one of those mesh onion bags and he cuts it with the scissors. Of course, Ray Rayner couldn't do anything. He was like so clumsy, but he had directions that he stumbles through on how you take one of those onion bags and turn it into a rose.
So good. So good.
And how flattered is the person that you're giving the onion bag rose to, by the way?
I know.
honey, I know it's our anniversary. I made a rose for you out of a used onion bag.
Here's the thing. It did make me cry, but not for the reason you think.
Yeah, right. Dean, didn't you do a segment? Do you still do where people donate their... the worst things that they got.
We did for years do the Christmas gift exchange.
And remember someone sent you a wreath?
Yes.
Someone made,
these are gifts. It's a segment that I used to do right after Christmas on the radio where I would trade people white elephant gifts that they got, you know, gifts that were not good matches for them, for cool stuff on our prize list.
Yeah.
And we've got all kinds of crazy things, but by far the craziest thing ever that somebody actually got as a Christmas gift was a Christmas wreath made out of horse droppings.
But they were shellacked.
Somebody took
each
of the piles, put them on a, you know, in a circular thing, shellacked them and put glitter, and you know, it was very pretty. It was very pretty. And I had it back in my office. I had it back in my office because, as you can imagine, it was quite the conversation piece.
And then a lady from a horse farm wanted it.
The horse poop wreath. I thought, who? But somebody called and said, I raise horses. That would be perfect in my barn. I had to go to our mail room with a horse poop wreath. And ask Gary. Remember Gary?
Oh, yeah.
Good old Gary in the mailroom. He had to wrap the poor horse poop wreath and send it to the person that raised the horses.
This is before they had screening of the packages, too, because I
mail. Well, as tradition, every year we give away to all of our family Aretha Franklin.
Oh.
It's a wreath of Franklin.
That's nice.
It's all Benjamin Franklin memorabilia.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
I thought it was a wreath made out of $100 bills.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be a nice.
It's like electric.
That's like our Keith on a wreath. Where's our Keith on a wreath? Isn't it in there, Andrea?
You know what? I haven't seen it. Yeah. Oh, Cochran took it home, I'm being told. It was Duncan Keith on a wreath. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It was very funny.
You know what makes the holidays for me? Being able to go to a comedy show. And the thing that I like to do, I don't like to just go to a comedy show in one theater. I prefer if there's possible for me to go to two different theaters to see shows at different times of the day. Oh, say on New Year's Eve, for example.
We got it.
What? No, that can't be possible.
This is so weird.
It's a dream come true.
I can't believe you even brought this up.
It's a Christmas dream come true for Uncle Dean.
Another Christmas miracle.
What are the odds?
Miracle. It's a miracle. It is. Whereabouts might this
be? I can't believe this is. Oh, this is phenomenal.
It's amazing that I would mention something so specific.
Oh my God! And people are going to think this is set up.
It was better in rehearsal.
Yeah, and I have to admit, it was. It went
not much better, but it was a little better.
I tried to make it, you know, but it didn't.
You are that was, very that's dramatic. On me. You are you're, super
you're
dramatic.
Good.
That was good.
You were good.
You are super dramatic.
Yes,
Bryan Cranston.
Thank you. Thank you. Two shows, and this is first year we're doing it in two different places, which is kind of cool. 1 o'clock. The Rouse Center, Crystal Lake, where we've done it the last 4 years with Pat McGann, Tim Banker, myself, Steve Cochran. Great show. We have a band. 1 o'clock. You can get those tickets at rousecenter.com or .org.
I enjoy all of you on that lineup, but does Tim do his Steve Bertrand impersonation?
Yeah, he does.
Because that's one of the funniest damn things I ever heard in my life.
It is. I'm so pleased that you're pleased with it because it is. It's great.
He does Steve Bertrand better than Steve Bertrand
does.
Yes,
he does. Yeah. He does. Yeah, that's true. So rousecenter.org, or you can call the box office directly at 815-356-9212, and we'll have some people from the theater later today.
John is just learning English language.
And, yes.
Not his first language.
They just put a wreath made of...
John was raised in Iceland. He's just learning English.
Yes, right.
Do they even speak English in Iceland? So, I don't even know what they
just
speak
in Reykjavik.
In. Yeah, I know. Okay.
But the 6 o'clock is at the Tivoli, our first year at the Tivoli, which you have been to, Dean.
I have.
Beautiful, absolutely gorgeous, beautiful theater.
Gorgeous.
In downtown Downers Grove. That's at 6 o'clock. That's with our own Patty Vasquez. And, of course, Larry Reeb, Uncle Lair, Tim Benker as well as our announcer, Steve and myself. 6 o'clock, Tivoli. Go to classiccinemas.com or CochraneComedy.com. Click on the Eventbrite link and buy your tickets. And tickets are going fast. It's great.
That's amazing that this would all be happening just as we mentioned this. Now, we're going to do another dramatic recreation of this exact conversation a little later. So stay tuned for a little while and see if we pull it off a little better than we did this time. Because honestly, this time we would never even...
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Over the ottoman he goes. How about that colorized Dick Van Dyke episodes that they showed last week? Awesome. I love them. I was talking about my favorite A-list interview for the year, and I talked to Mel Gibson this year, my old friend Mel Gibson. We had a great conversation. We've talked to the biggest movie stars in the world this year. By far, my favorite celebrity interview of the year was with now 91-year-old Dick Van Dyke. He just turned 91 the other day. Last summer, he was in the Chicago area, but he was also in Danville, Illinois, his hometown of Danville, where they're restoring his childhood home. He was at his high school, Danville High School, where he put on a big presentation for the kids, and they had a recreation of the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car, the whole thing. I mean, it was just so great, but he was just so amazing, so warm and down-to-earth and wonderful. And we learned so much about his movies and his TV shows. We learned that he almost got a job right here in the Chicago area. You came from Danville, drove to Chicago, auditioned to be an announcer on WMAQ in Chicago.
And the hotel I stayed at didn't leave me the call. They didn't call me, and I missed the audition.
You drove all the way down there. That you didn't get your wake-up call and missed it.
Yeah.
Ruined your life.
Yeah, I would have been an announcer up in your end of the woods.
How about that? So what does it mean to you to be back here in Danville again?
Oh, God, it's just great. You know, I have a foundation, scholarships for kids who have talent. You know, most of the high schools around the country are losing art, music, drama, all that money's gone. We're raising a generation of robots because I do support a lot out there, but here we're going to keep it going, and we're going to give scholarships to kids who've got talent, and there's a lot of them.
All through the Dick Van Dyke Foundation.
Through the Van Dyke Foundation, and that's my main reason to come here. They're refurbishing my childhood home, which I can't believe.
That's amazing.
Oh, God.
When you drive through town, does it look familiar to you? Does it look like a completely different place to you?
There are certain neighborhoods that are exactly the same. But a lot downtown areas, a lot of landmarks are gone that were there before. But I'll recognize them at my old high school here and the grade school. Everything's still there.
So what kind of a student was Dick Van Dyke here at good old Danville High?
I was a big man on campus. I was president of my class, vice president of dramatic club, and didn't do very well in my studies. Have time.
You're busy having fun.
Too social.
So you were involved in theatrical. You had the bug and kind of knew what you wanted to do even
back
then.
I did. You know, getting in show business was really over the rainbow. You never thought about it as a possibility. So I didn't really, but I was in all the shows. They wrote shows for teenagers back in those days. It were pretty all propaganda. Lease on Liberty and the boring. And the only musicals we got to do were operettas. Kids today get to do hit shows off Broadway.
They're doing Bye Bye Birdie and like.
I've seen it a thousand times. Yeah. We did, you know, The Merry Wives of Windsor.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. So from when did you actually leave Danville?
1947.
47.
Me and my buddy Phil got in his old Chevy, drove all. We were going to do an act for a lark. It was going to be an experience, and then we were going to come home and do something serious. And one thing led to another. I never got home again.
Yeah, it got sidetracked away. You worked at a radio station here in Danville.
WDAN. Right. Everybody got drafted during the war, and I got the job at 17. Loved it. Loved it.
Was that sort of what that great Dick Van Dyke Show episode was based, where you did the DJ marathon?
That's right. Based on Danville, yeah. I mentioned Danville a lot. I went to England to do Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and there was some question about my English accent, which is a big joke. And he said, you can just talk in your regular accent, but don't say you're from Danville.
Talking about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, how about this?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Is this
everything
amazing
about it? It took him 4 years, and it's a beautiful thing.
How do you feel sitting in it, and what kind of memories does it bring back?
Oh, my God, great memories. Great memories. It was such fun shooting that movie. Oh, my God. But the kids, I need the kids in back.
Right.
You know, at one point, it rained so much in England, we weren't getting any shooting done. So we went to the south of France. We're driving through vineyards. Couldn't possibly be England. Nobody's ever brought that up.
Yeah. What, Disney and Walt Disney Company really was such a big part of your early part of your movie career.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Was it?
I was a big fan from the time I was a kid. It was such a thrill to actually end up working with them.
From the cartoons, from Mickey Mouse? And,
my favorite was Pinocchio.
Pinocchio was
and
your favorite.
And Hi, Diddly-Dee, and Actor's Life for me. I said, that's what I want.
Wow, it was your theme song.
Yeah, you know, the refurbishing Walt's home, childhood home in Chicago.
Right.
We're going up.
Where you'll
later
be on Sunday.
Yeah. I'm so tickled about this, but the whole thing is raising money for the foundation. I saw a performance of Bye Bye Birdie here. Couldn't believe the talent of those kids. And they've got nowhere to go, nowhere to train.
That's great that you're making that opportunity available to them and giving them, you know, the kind of opportunity, because things have changed so much, haven't they, with electronics and YouTube and things like that. There's no place to get actual practical experience in front of human beings.
Oh, out in Los Angeles, I don't think there's one high school that has an art program, a dramatic program, anything of the kind. Those things are all gone for lack of money. We're raising a generation of robots, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We've got to keep some culture going.
I wonder if you, reflect on what classics you've made. Not only Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but Mary Poppins is still one of the biggest shows on Broadway. When it's on television, everybody stops what they're doing.
I know.
It's appointment television to watch you and Julie Andrews.
You know, it was one of the few, usually when excuse me, I'm making a movie, you're not knowing, you know, how it's going. Is it any good? Every day we came in, we knew something very special was happening. There was just a magic about it. Every day when we came to work, we knew it was going to be something. It was a joy every minute.
Was it unlike any kind of other movie experience that you've done? Because for its day, the special effects were pretty amazing.
For their time?
Yeah.
I've often thought if computer graphics were around, Walt would be like a kid in a toy store. Wouldn't he have had... He missed all that.
Yeah. You must have been dancing and performing to what? I mean, with some of the scenes that you were doing that they later on put you in with the special effects, with the penguins and so forth. What were you actually seeing during that?
Nothing. I was with the animators, and fortunately, I love mime anyway.
Right.
They would tell me where they are, how tall they were, what moves to make. And I finally saw a penciled-in animation. I couldn't believe my eyes.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It turned out so great.
You heard the news that they're going to do a sequel to this, to Mary Poppins now, right?
You know, I'm I don't know about that.
A little iffy about
it. No Waltz, no Sherman Brothers to write the... your sequels have a way of not being... I said, tell them Bert's dead.
So this was kind of interesting now, because he clearly was not so happy about a Mary Poppins reboot. Clearly, didn't want to be part of it. Telling Bert's dead is pretty final.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richer, the entertainment editor, Channel 972. Top man, pro and steady. Tune him in because he's always ready. East Coast to the West Coast. He is a critic I trust the most. Do I like him? Yes, I suppose so. I saw the show on the show called Bozo. Garfield Goose and a guy named Ray. I watch it every year on Turkey Day. Representing.
Always be appreciative to John DaCosta taking a few minutes from hanging with Diddy and Snoop and all the rest to take some time to lay down some tracks that are so dope for a guy.
They're whack.
They're whack.
Hip tracks.
You know what? Those are some dope lyrics.
Yeah. Does it bother you that we have that stuck in our head all the time, even when you're not
hearing
it?
That song? I heard the actual song on which that's based. Isn't that Rihanna?
No, it's Katy Perry.
It's Katy Perry.
California Girls.
I heard that the other day. I goes, who messed up my song? Who is that woman who has messed up my song?
So good.
That is amazing. It's and I appreciate that your great talent.
Labor of love. Yep.
So this is where that lame entertainment reporter from WGN TV normally joins Steve.
Oui, oui. Oh, you're gonna do your French accent. Now we can hear it in the flesh.
If we did a best of 2016,
we have to
the French accent days, which were about 45 of them
in a row,
would be good. Where Steve and I were obsessed doing our bad French accents after the tragic Kim Kardashian robbery. But this is where we normally talk about entertainment, so I thought we would do that a little bit today, because we've got tons of interviews today. What about this Richard Marx story?
That's crazy.
We're going to talk more about this later. Richard Marx is on a plane with his wife, Daisy Fuentes, mm-hmm. and somebody goes nuts on the plane. And Richard Marx helps subdue the person who goes crazy, helps the flight attendants.
Yeah, who had a taser, right, but didn't know how to use it?
Apparently the flight attendant had a taser and didn't know how to use it.
And so and what did he do? He sang one of his songs, the guy became depressed.
Fell asleep.
And that was it?
Yeah, the guy should have known
That's
better.
That's pretty cool.
Whatever you go, whatever.
He was right there waiting for him.
Yeah, he didn't stop until he was satisfied either.
It's like being shot with a tranquilizer dart. Just took him down like that. And didn't mess up his hair during the whole encounter, which is something. That's an amazing story to me. J-Lo turns down a $1 million New Year's Eve gig because she's tired.
That's
insane. She was supposed to do a New Year's Eve gig in Miami, get paid $1 million, but also cancels it. First of all, it's just days away from the event to cancel the last minute like that, but it's $1 million.
Do you have that? Does someone have really, well, apparently we know the answer, that much money that you can just say no?
It's hard for me to argue because I've done that.
Yeah.
I have canceled stuff.
$1 million.
Yeah, I'm like,
gigs.
You know what? I've got to get cake.
He calls that Tuesday.
You know, a great bakery on the south side that can help
you out. Do we know if they got some? If they had someone to fill in for her?
Yeah, was it a wedding or something? That would be bad.
I don't think so. I think it's just one of these, New Year's Eve, ring in the new year kind of deals.
Like Chi-Town Rising.
I think so. Well, I hope it's not like Chi-Town Rising.
Maybe she canceled to come here.
I hope it's.
Look at that rumor.
I hope it's slightly better produced than Chi-Town Rising was last year. Oh. One of the other big stories, we're talking about celebrity interviews. I'm playing back my favorite A-list interview of the year, Dick Van Dyke. We're going to play more of that coming up later. We've got Kevin Costner. We've got Jim Parsons, Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory. Bazinga coming up a little later on the show as well. But the celebrity interview that's gone viral right now is this bizarre 7-minute interview with Jerry Lewis. that everybody's talking about? Crazy. Let me play a little of that for you when we come back. It's 8:19. This is Dean Richards. And for Steve Cochran, he will be back tomorrow. And I will be back with him here in this time slot, talking entertainment, having loads of laughs at this time tomorrow as well. Andrea's here. Andy Mazur's here. John DeCoss is here. Whole gang is here. Hail, hail. The gang's all here for the holidays. So I've interviewed Jerry Lewis several times. I would say each time it's been pretty difficult. He's a fairly high-maintenance interview. A lot of demands, fair amount of demands that he wants things a certain way. It's just very difficult when you ask questions. If you don't come fully prepared, knowing that it's going to be a challenging interview, you're going to get eaten up and spit out by this guy, as this poor kid did who interviewed him for the Hollywood Reporter. It's an industry publication. Tried to interview him, and I'll grant you, the kid was not asking the greatest questions in the world. But Jerry Lewis in this 7 minutes was about as unpleasant a person as can possibly be. And he really Tommy Lee Jones'd him, as I call. Tommy Lee Jones is famous with everybody for one-word answers. That's when you're the interviewer, you don't want to hear one-word answers from people. You want to hear some responses. But Jerry Lewis, well, just listen to a little of it here and you'll get a little sense of it.
What's different about performing now for you than, say, 20 years ago? How is it different for you?
It isn't.
Not at all?
Not at all.
Have you made any, do you have to make any concessions to being, you know, older in your performing, or how do you keep the material fresh for yourself?
By working at it.
You've been coming to Vegas you've lived here for a while, you've been coming here for a long time. How is Vegas different for you than when you first came here? When was the first time you performed in Vegas?
1947.
Well, can you tell me what Vegas was like when you first showed up?
It's not. It's the same.
It's the same?
Exactly the same.
So apparently, Las Vegas is exactly the same as it was in 1947, as it is today. The whole interview is like this. This poor kid is...
1947, what was it?
He's still on the 1947 thing.
Dusty Cowtown, it was... What was it like?
Dusty Cowtown.
The whole interview is like that. It's just painful.
I think at the 5 minute point, maybe he should have said, "Thank you so much for your time. Yeah. Bye bye."
I'll give him. The kid should have been a little better prepared. The kid should have been, better able to handle, follow up questions to somebody who is obviously being a hostile interview. Clearly, had no interest whatsoever in being interviewed, and to that, God knows I've had my share of those, where you're like, I won't waste your time, you don't waste my time. Yeah. If you don't want to be interviewed, just let's not do this. That's better than putting somebody through an ordeal like this.
What's the point of even doing that too? I mean, why exactly. Why be a jerk?
Because you can.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because you can, yeah. And I get also I will say, he's 90 years old, right? I think he just turned 90 also. He's 90. He's been interviewed a zillion times. I'm sure he's been asked the same questions a zillion times. But as you may have heard in the interview clip that we played about half an hour ago with Dick Van Dyke, you can be 90 years old and be very pleasant. I'm sure many of the questions that I asked Dick Van Dyke about his career and TV show and Mary Tyler Moore and Carl Reiner and all the rest, he's been asked a million times. But was a polite person, a person who showed some manners to somebody else. I interviewed the great Norman Lear this year. I had the honor of interviewing Norman Lear this year. And many, many other classics. I had like four or five classic performers who have been around for more than five decades who are courteous, polite, interesting, such a big difference than Jerry Lewis.
What interview have you had this year that's been a surprise? Maybe someone who you thought would be a great interview who wasn't, or someone who you didn't think would be a great interview and turned out to be just delightful.
Yeah, thankfully, most of them turn out to be super delightful. I haven't had any encounters, you know, like Mel Gibson kind of encounters, or Tommy Lee Jones, Meg Ryan, Deborah Winger. I don't want to mention any names of people who have been difficult. But I will say, it was last week in New York, I interviewed Pharrell Williams.
Oh.
Come on, get happy. So I'm thinking it's going to be like a really super fun interview. Happy. And he was the most boring person I've ever talked to in my life.
Really?
Super serious. Taking a really long time. I wasn't asking him, you know, for scientific formulas. I was asking him, pleasant, I think, questions. And he wasn't rude. He wasn't like a jerk or anything like that. I was just expecting him to be Pharrell.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just tired of being happy.
Maybe he's tired. Mm-hmm. It was very apparent that day that he was just tired.
Did he have the Haas Cartwright hat on?
He did have the Haas Cartwright.
Serious?
He was wearing the Haas Cartwright / Jed Clampett hat.
Yeah.
That's I love that. I love that I can tickle John like that with one bad TV reference. You know exactly what hat I'm talking about. Come on, are we going to go record a song or are we going to go plow these fields?
I need to go look for some bubbling crude.
Wait, Texas tea. What about you, Andrea? You've interviewed a lot of people. Have you had?
You know, I think for me, this was a great interviewing year. I mean, we did a lot of politics this year. We went to the caucuses. We went to the primaries, the conventions. So I got to interview a lot of politicians, a lot of cool people this year. My favorite, I think my highlight was bike riding with the mayor in studio.
Oh, yeah.
We had a good time.
On the stationary bikes.
Yeah, we finally got our bike tour in.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I have to say, this was a nice year for interviews, especially for the classic interviews, and we've got them all posted. But by far, fantastic experience. Because I've interviewed Dick Van Dyke many times on the phone, but this was my first time meeting him, and it's always so nice. I didn't know what to expect. But he was so nice and so down to earth and so approachable. Everything. You just wanted to hug the guy.
I interviewed a man. He was 95 or 94, and he went to the 1932 and the 1945 Cubs World Series. Mr. Bazakis, he was a Greek man. He was a wonderful interview. And the same thing, Dane. You'd ask him a question, and he'd say, "Yeah, I remember back." And then he worked for the Chicago Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
That was the football team, mm-hmm. right?
How cool is that?
And he was telling cool stories. And he said, "Oh, you don't want to see those old photos." I said, "Yeah, I actually do." So they're the old photos, you know. And he's standing on what was State Street then, and like it hasn't changed a bit since. No, I'm pulling from the
it's
Jerry
the same.
Lewis.
That's
it's
crazy.
So different. I mean, the photos of him alone were so cool.
Andy, what about sports guys? Are they generally pretty affable?
Yeah, it depends. You know, doing pregame as long as I did it for teams that didn't win, it was really difficult to figure out questions that weren't going to set somebody off. You know, at the same time, you know, there was interviews I was looking forward to. One of them, I was telling you guys off the air, Bobby Cox, who's a Hall of Famer now with the Atlanta Braves, he was so uninterested in doing the interview that he agreed to do that I finally lost it. And I asked him a question that kind of snapped him back into things, and that was it. I didn't give him the Walgreens gift card either. Stiffed him.
Show you.
Yeah.
Try to get some chapstick at Walgreens.
Exactly.
You're
right.
Paying for it, my friend.
Yeah, but you know, it's different. You know, obviously, it's the same thing with celebrities and people in the news industry. It's when you get them. It's what the subject matter is. If it's something controversial, right. Or if you can just have a little fun with it. It's
right.
It's difficult.
And it's how you deal with.
Oh yeah, it's how you come
off.
As
the interviewer. It's
and you got to be prepared, like you said.
You have to be prepared, and you have to make the person feel comfortable in talking. You go in hostile 99% of the time, you're going to get hostile back. But I got to say, you know, people always want to know, it's like, who's the biggest jerk that you ever talked to? 99% of the celebs are super nice, super really nice. Clint Eastwood, how did I forget that? I talked to Clint Eastwood this year. I'm sitting in a hallway. I'm not even scheduled to talk to him. I'm sitting in the hallway, and he's walking by. You know, and it's like you hear the good, bad, and ugly music whenever he walks into the room.
Did he say, hey, punk?
He walks by, and he's like, you know, kind of nodding at people and saying hello, and he stops. He goes, Chicago. I was like, come on. Wow,
that's cool.
That's impressive. He goes, am I going to be
talking? Was he looking for directions?
Is your GPS not working?
Yeah, right. It's that way.
Am I going to be talking to you? I said, well, honestly, I'm not scheduled to talk to you. He goes, let's put him on the schedule and talk to him. Talk to Clint Eastwood.
That's so cool.
Amazing. Amazing. It's been a great year. Almost all of them are super nice. And I would never have the bad taste to mention the people who have not been. Tommy Lee Jones. Meg Ryan. We have a break? We do have a break here, don't we? Yes. Did we mention that this hour is sponsored by our friends at the Wintrust Community Banks? It's 8:29. We'll get the big story when we come back from the break. All here on 720 WGN.
There's a sense of loyalty to the men and women you serve with. Those two men on trial, I served with them for a long time. I owe them my life a dozen times over, and right now they're in trouble, and I'm going to help them. Let the regulations be damned.
Sir, that is the most illogical line of reasoning.
You better believe it. Helm, engage.
My. The great George Takei. Sulu from Star Trek. He's going to be in the Chicago area. He's doing a live show at the Chicago Theater, February 3rd. He's going to be showing a screening of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, one of the better Star Trek movies, I might add. And then George Takei comes out and tells behind-the-scenes story of making the movie and the TV show, and does an audience Q&A. That sounds like a cool night. And he's a really great storyteller. He tells really funny stories. If anybody is going to the show, ask him. Like, it's kind of his catchphrase now is, oh, my.
Yeah.
And I can't really tell the story on the air of where that comes from. It's kind of filthy. It's super filthy, actually. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
But somebody...
Oh, pray tell.
See, nobody says it like he does. That makes it sound extra dirty. But if you're going to the show, ask him the oh, my story. Ask him from where oh, my comes from. As a matter of fact, we've got a couple of tickets to give away for the show right now. Pair of tickets to see George Takei live on stage at the Chicago Theater, February the 3rd. Caller 7 will be the winner. 312-981-7200. Caller 7. Good luck with that. That's the story with that.
Oh, my.
So
he's got a very entertaining Twitter feed, too, by the way.
Oh, his Twitter feed's outrageous.
Isn't great?
Why does he sound like Bill Curtis? Doesn't he?
He does sound like Bill.
At first, I thought it was Bill Curtis.
Oh, my.
He does sound a little like Bill Curtis. I never thought of that. Walter, back to you. Oh, my. So this is the biggest movie weekend of the year. We've got movies, seven movies opening. Many of them are opening today. Some are opening on Friday. Some are opening on Christmas Day itself. The best of the bunch is this little animated movie called Sing. Matthew McConaughey, Reese Witherspoon, Seth MacFarlane, John C. Reilly, Scarlett Johansson all do voices and all sing in the movie. It's a musical animated film about like a vintage old theater that's down on its luck. They need to raise money. They hold a singing competition, and all the characters in the movie are all animals. So you've got a singing pig, you've got a singing koala bear, of singing elephants, and it's all really cute and really great songs, great energy, real fun in this movie. This is a movie that the kids are going to enjoy as much as the grown-ups. Highly recommending this, and I give it a Dean's List A. This one, the whole family can go see it. Might even, well, I doubt it's going to beat Rogue One at the box office, but it's at least going to be number two at the box office after the long holiday weekend. Denzel Washington and Viola Davis's new movie, Fences, opens this weekend. Are you familiar with August Wilson's play, Fences? August Wilson, maybe one of the most prolific playwrights ever in America, has now passed away. But the Goodman Theater has always done August Wilson plays. Fences was one of the ones that they did. That's about an African-American family in Pittsburgh, this irascible head of the family played by Denzel Washington, who just browbeats everybody in the guise of love. You know, tough love, but like super, super dysfunctional tough love. Viola Davis is his long-suffering wife in this movie. He's got a couple of sons and friends, and he's just got loud-mouthed opinions for everything and everyone. The movie is great. The performances are stunning. They're going to be Oscar nominations for this movie, especially Viola Davis. But the story really is, it's about this African-American family living in the late 1950s, but it's really about any family. It's a very relatable story. You will see friends and family members of your own in this family. It's touching. It's moving. It's full of bravado. It's full of emotion. I'm giving this one a Dean's List A as well. There is this lovely little film called Lion about a little boy in India. He's about 5 years old. He gets separated. He and his brother are out playing, and he gets separated. Winds up on an abandoned train, falls asleep. While he's asleep, the train starts moving and travels to another city 1,000 miles away. He has no idea where he is. They don't speak the language that he speaks when he arrives, and he's lost. It's a little 5-year-old boy who is lost and left on the dirty, filthy, mean streets of India. At this time, left to try to survive on these streets. It's heartbreaking and emotional. Eventually, he gets put into an orphanage. Eventually, gets adopted by an Australian family that includes Nicole Kidman, who is great in this movie, by the way. And now, flash forward 20 years later, sort of for the second half of the film, of this now 20-year-old guy trying to find his birth parents, and Dev Patel plays him as a 20-year-old, and the movie is great. It's a true story. It's amazing. It's a true story that's beautifully photographed, really well told. I really like this movie. A little bit predictable. You could kind of see what's coming, but I gave it a Dean's List B+. I'll tell you about some of the other movies that are opening for this holiday weekend after we take a break. Plus, we're going to join WGN-TV live for my regular entertainment segment with them, Octavia Spencer, Janelle Monáe, Taraji P. Henson, part of the segment also coming up. It's 8:52. This is Dean Richards from your WGN-TV morning news. Here filling in for Steve Cochran today. Steve will be back tomorrow. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to be joining WGN Television. Robin Baumgarten and Dan Ponce anchoring this morning. We'll be joining them so I can do my regular entertainment segment. That's how I managed to bring in the double salaries.
Oh.
Even if I'm on radio, I still do my TV job. Oh. And that way, it's like double dipping.
You're a smart guy.
I'm inspired by Illinois politicians.
Did you request Larry be off today?
I just can't work with him anymore.
And how many hours do you work retail?
I work at, I almost said Marshall Field.
I know.
I work in the Frango department over at Marshall Field.
Yeah. Which there still is there, by the way. Let me tell you.
On the seventh floor? Is it on the seventh floor by the Walnut Room?
There is one by the Walnut Room, and then there's one on the basement level now, too. Oh, a whole Frango section. Spent way too much time there yesterday.
You know, if I was sitting here by myself right now, I could eat a whole box of Frangos by myself.
Mm. Oh, I love Frangos.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good eating. So, anywho, we're going to get to the top entertainment stories of the day. We'll be joining Robin and Dan in a second. Here we go. Look at the familiar music for the top entertainment stories of the day.
Thanks, William, for Steve Cochran on WGN Radio. We're going to try and do that simulcast thing. How you doing there, Diener?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, you know what? I think it's amazingly it's worked twice today. Somebody write this down in the record books. We've got our top entertainment stories of the day today, which includes this amazing story about Richard Marx, Chicago's very own, been on the morning show many times, has performed for us, and now apparently is a real-life superhero as well. He is on a plane, and I might note that it looks like he's sitting in coach. Richard Marx, you can't get a first-class seat, really, with all your fancy-schmancy connections. He looks like he's sitting in coach, like the average guy. Another passenger becomes unruly, and Richard Marx helps to subdue the person. Fortunately, his wife, model and TV host Daisy Fuentes, just happened to have the phone going the whole time, recorded the whole incident, posted pictures up on social media, said that the suspect suddenly started attacking flight attendants and passengers. They tried to restrain the man when a crew member and two other passengers were hurt during that struggle. That's when Richard Marx came into the rescue. He got into the fight also. The flight attendant armed with a taser, but apparently didn't know how to use it. Richard Marx helps wrestle the man to the ground who was arrested when the plane landed in Seoul, Korea. Also, another Chicagoan, Bill Murray, bringing his Caddyshack bar to the Chicago area. Bill Murray and his five brothers planning on opening a Caddyshack-themed bar at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Rosemont. The deal in the very early stages. No opening date has been announced. This will be their second location. Another Caddyshack opened in St. Augustine, Florida, back in 2001. And Jennifer Lopez has walked away from a $1 million paycheck. J-Lo reportedly canceled the performance on New Year's Eve in Miami. Sources telling People magazine that Lopez had a really busy year with her popular Las Vegas residency and other projects. She's tired, poor thing. Just bought a home in Bel Air, California. Plans to spend the holidays at home with her kids. Also this morning on my Dean's List A-List interviews, the new movie Hidden Figures will be among the ones opening on Christmas Day. The untold story of three brilliant African-American women, kind of unsung heroes, working at NASA in the early 60s, helping to launch the first successful space missions, crossing gender and race lines. The film stars Octavia Spencer, the Oscar winner from The Help, singer Janelle Monáe, and Taraji P. Henson, who you know from Empire, spoke with them recently about the movie and Taraji's Chicago connection.
Yes. I thought it was historical fiction. The Help was historical fiction. Yeah. So I immediately thought it was fiction. It was, and I'm grateful that it's not.
Hopefully this film can serve as a reminder that we still have things to tackle. I mean, we're still talking about equal pay for women. But the great thing about this film is that it shows us persevering through those obstacles.
Are you having fun in Chicago?
I am.
She's the darling of Chicago.
I love Chicago. I have a life in Chicago outside of just acting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the city has really embraced me. I can go into any restaurant.
Yes.
Well, let's see.
I'm going
when
with
we
you.
Go visit.
Right.
Let's
I'm
see.
I'm taking you to McDonald's.
I'm going.
Octavia said, I love McDonald's. I would love that. Hidden Figures and six other movies will all open either today, Friday, or Christmas Day. I'm going to have all the reviews for you Friday morning on the WGN TV Morning News. And just a quick reminder for our WGN radio listeners that Oscar winner Jennifer Hudson will be joining us tomorrow morning on the WGN TV Morning News for our annual drive-through toy drive benefiting the Julian D. King Foundation. That's her little son who was murdered, her little nephew, rather, who was murdered several years ago. We collect toys, pass them out to kids who wouldn't have anything otherwise for Christmas. So that's tomorrow morning in our 9 o'clock hour, you guys. Back to you at TV.
Thanks, Dean. Today, look for mostly cloudy skies. A daytime high reading, though,
all right.
35
there
degrees.
You go, Paul Conrad there with your weather forecast. Yeah, coming up, just related to that and Hidden Figures, we're going to share here on the radio my full interview with Kevin Costner, who is also in Hidden Figures, and Jim Parsons, Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory. That's going to be coming up in the next hour, along with part two of my Dick Van Dyke interview from last June, my favorite A-list interview of the year, a fantastic interview, where he sings the lyrics to the Dick Van Dyke Show theme. We even knew that those existed, but I asked him about it, and he sang it, and we've got that coming up in our next hour as well. Plus, in the next hour, John DeCosse, who is here with us, has just learned of a show, two shows actually, that you can go to on New Year's Eve if you wish to be entertained. If you're looking for something to do on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, just found that out.
John has just learned the details of these two shows that are coming up. I feel like I could have done a better tease than that.
No, that was good.
That didn't sound so exciting.
That was good.
I need to play. If I'm a listener right now, I'm going...
They're not
going
to buy my end of it. Not that interesting. That's okay.
Dean didn't really sell that. I'm not that interested.
You guys are costume changing. That's why.
And he'll be giving away $1 million.
Yes!
Oh! That's not true.
No.
For our legal department that just had a heart attack.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
With Dean Richards filling in today. Wow! Did I just do James Brown?
That was good.
I hurt myself.
Do you sound like that when you go into the lake?
Somebody get me Croy Crawford surgeon's number. I think I just had a hernia. Papa's got a brand new bag. The Christmas classic. Papa's got a brand new bag. 9:13, and why this big New Year's Eve show that Steve is participating in, and John DeCosse, and well, it's Pat McGann, right? It's just like one star after another in this.
And we just found out like 10 minutes ago.
This was just confirmed?
Yes.
So tickets are readily available in that case. Now is the time to go and get your tickets.
They've been selling for weeks. I just found out.
We don't really tell Steve or John details on things like this until the very last minute. This really should be called the Super Cool Theater Tour.
Yeah.
Because both of these theaters at which you guys will be performing on New Year's Eve are amazing, including the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake. And Richard Caranda, who is the theater director of The Row, is on the line with us right now. Hello there, my friend. How are you? Oops, wait a second. Hold on. Have to push the buttons.
What? Wait, where'd you go?
I hear you now.
Oh, there you are.
I'm a trained professional, Richard. Don't worry.
I'm still getting over the Speedo comment. I'm looking at a photo of you in a tux from one of our galas a couple of years ago. And I just, the Speedo thing.
Yeah, I almost wore the Speedo to your gala that year. I was talked out of it at the last minute. People know I love relaxing in a Speedo wherever I am, which is why I was not invited to be at the New Year's Eve show this year.
Yeah.
We didn't want to hurt ticket sales that
way.
Oh, come on. We've got a great lineup. We're so pleased. And Steve's such a great mensch. I mean, this is a fantastic show that's going in. I think this is our fourth year, and almost all of the proceeds go to our Mission Imagination program, which serves about 25,000 kids throughout the Chicagoland community. So it's a great event, and I know Steve gets a little political, so I know my audience base is excited for a year in rap after this last year. It should be a lot of fun, a lot of comedy.
Yeah, so what else, John, is going to be part of this whole extravaganza?
Well, and this is what's kind of neat this year, because at 1 o'clock, it'll be Pat McGann, and we all know Pat. Richard, hi, how are you, by the way?
By the way, great. Merry Christmas, John.
Yes, wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, can you guys do this in a private conversation, please?
Okay, whatever.
We're just trying to plug the show here,
I can't get the Speedo out of my mind right now.
Neither can we, John.
Okay. But Pat McGann will be on the show, the 1 o'clock show. But here's what's kind of neat for the Row is they are also, even though we're moving to another theater for the evening, they have another show with your dear friends. Is that 8 o'clock, Richard?
It is. And we're going to be joined by Pat Tomasulo, Anna, and Mike Toomey. Oh,
get out of here. The WGN-TV morning show comedians.
Absolutely.
Really funny. So, that's a great night, a great day of entertainment.
It's the whole, and who's it? Jimmy Nick?
great local blues guitarist. And, well, I shouldn't say local. He's played Buddy Guy's and, you know, a ton of other great venues. But it's a rocking time in Crystal Lake, and it's a beautiful town for people who might not be familiar.
Beautiful town, but I just want to say, Richard, what an amazing venue that you have there. When did the Rouse Center first open?
Holy smokes. We were supposed to open on, actually it was 9/11. It was the, we were supposed to have opening night, but with the tragedy, it got delayed. So 16 years, and it's a restored vaudevillian house. Absolutely gorgeous. And it's nice because it's a Main Street theater. We'll have about 300 events a year. As a matter of fact, we've got Richard Marx coming up on the 17th. So we're excited about.
He's a superhero now.
You know, good for him. Good for him.
I would now insist that in addition to doing a music show, that he wrestle the people in the first two rows of the theater.
It's a scary photo. He's holding the rope. I mean, he really was in the mix of it. Holy smokes.
He was. Great. He was the real deal with that. But didn't the theater originally open like in the 1920s something? I mean, it's a massively gorgeous theater. I mean, this is the kind of theaters they don't make anymore. You just don't see anymore, these beautiful old vaudeville theaters.
It's a real treasure. And a little bit of history really quickly. Back when it opened in 1923, it was one of the few theaters in the U.S. to be managed by a female, by a woman general manager.
Wow.
And the mob had a huge problem with her. And about 4 days after she had her grand opening, they bombed it. They sent a truck with dynamite, and they blew out the whole facade of it. Luckily, it's been restored, and about 16 years ago, the team here put it together, and, you know,
that's
beautiful.
Wild.
It's gorgeous.
And a lot of people don't know the other part of that story is that Richard Marx's great-great-grandfather showed up after that bombing and saved the day for everyone. So now, if I wanted to get to... If I wanted to get tickets for this show, your show, John.
Yes.
Both at the Rau and at the beautiful Tivoli out
right.
in Downers Grove. How would one go about doing
that?
Well,
the Rau is easy because they can get tickets for our 1 o'clock show or they can get tickets for the 8 o'clock show later that night. They can go to RauCenter.org or call the box office directly at 815-356-9212. How great is that? Richard, I'm so looking forward to this. This is going to be great.
It's going to be a blast. It should be a wonderful time.
Richard, happy holidays to you. Continued success out at the Rau. Keep us posted on what's going on out there. It truly is one of my favorite venues in the Chicago area.
And I'm really anxious to go for a swim now. I don't know why, but...
Right after the show, 10:03, I'll be out at Navy Pier. Anyone wants to join me, come on out.
I just put on my Speedo.
Happy holidays, guys. We can't wait to see you, John, and the whole team, and Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Richard.
Merry Christmas. Richard Caranda, the theater director at the Rau Center out in Crystal Lake. Joining us in studio here, Mike Jacobson, the producer of the Steve Cochran program. He can only be in the studio for one of two reasons. Either I've done something really wrong, or there's a gift that's about to be given.
Hi, Gene.
Did I luck out with that description here? And do I have the correct microphones turned?
Yes. You do now.
Really trying
He's
to
not
impress.
Yelling at
See,
you so
weren't
going to
be
thing.
In trouble, and now you are.
I'm trying to impress now that we're on CLTV, which, by the way, I'm incredibly self-conscious, even though I'm on TV every day. We're on CLTV right now. I'm afraid I'm going to, like, pick my nose or, like, you know, I'm going to scratch something that I shouldn't. Like, I'm super uncomfortable. Knowing that the cameras are on right now.
Wait till commercial for that. You normally do.
Well, then you can see us on WGNRadio.com, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You can't scratch anything in the studio anymore. Where are the good old days in radio when you could scratch yourself whenever you wanted to? Anyway, Mike, what's going on here?
You're
going
to have to wait for your dip in the lake now to scratch everything you need to scratch.
Yes, I am.
Well, we do Secret Santa on the show, and yesterday, and it was on CLTV as well, Orion gave his gift to Dave Ennett. Dave Ennett gave, or then actually Mary Sandberg gave her gift to Orion, and John DeCoste is here today, and I got him in the Secret Santa. And I will not be here on Friday when everybody else gives away their gifts.
Right.
So Mary Sandberg really wanted me to give it to him on the air today.
Right.
So
the gift that.
Yeah. Which, by the way, right. for
you
those who
no expense with wrapping paper either.
Yeah. This is the Chicago Tribune special
that
wrapping.
Is nice.
Is that a quarter pounder with cheese that was wrapped? Is that the wrapper from?
Couldn't afford. Couldn't afford the cheese.
Looked like that.
And I labeled it just for you. It says
you
to you.
to you.
Not there.
Okay.
So we could do it.
Perfect. Sorry.
Did you not know who your secret Santa was?
This is like a Hanukkah, a gift every day.
I think they're all secret.
They're secret.
It's in a plastic bag.
No, I told them. Nobody buys me clothes. Why would anybody
buy me
clothes?
So I bought them. It's a piece of clothing.
Oh, my God.
And it's a T-shirt.
Oh.
That says, do you know the Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man.
How fitting.
And that'll fit.
It'll fit.
That's a good sign.
And nobody knows who probably listens that every single day that John comes in here, so basically once a week, he brings in muffins for the crew.
He brought in muffins.
And how much did you spend on muffins last year? You literally figured this out.
His wife figured it out.
Jackie figured it out. $870.
$870 in muffins a year.
Nice. And you still have a week left, so you can beat that.
Yeah.
You can hit
1,000 if you
want a good muffin budget.
So I got him a muffin t-shirt.
That's nice. Yeah.
This is awesome.
That's good.
This is awesome.
So now he's got to wear it on Friday.
I love this.
That's beautiful.
There you go.
Cool.
Not a dry eye in the house.
No.
Dad is a Dean's List A. That's
every
good.
Time a bell rings, a comedian gets a t-shirt.
And we all get a muffin.
We get muffins.
It's 9:22. A quick break. We're coming right back. Jim Parsons and Kevin Costner. It's Dean Richards in for Steve Cochran today. Steve returns tomorrow. Pete McMurray's coming up after 10, filling in for part one of Bill and Wendy today on WGN. It's going to be a lot of laughs. So we're talking about the new movies that are opening either today, Friday, or Christmas Day. 7 new movies opening for the Christmas weekend. I loved the animated movie Sing. I loved the Denzel Washington, Viola Davis movie Fences. This little movie, Lion, is so touching and beautiful. Highly recommending that. The comedy with Bryan Cranston and James Franco, Megan Mullally, among others. Really funny. Really, really funny. It's Bryan Cranston is sort of the disapproving father of a beautiful college-age daughter who is dating a millionaire wild child, played by James Franco.
He's got all the tattoos.
All the tats and everything, and he's nuts, meeting the parents for the first time. It's a little Meet the Parents-like, really is my only criticism of it. It's not overly original, but it's funny. So I'm recommending that one, giving it a Dean's List B. And I also really liked the movie Hidden Figures. This is another true story that's centered around 3 African-American women who were secretaries at the National Aeronautics Space Authority. Is that what NASA stands for?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Yeah. NASA. This is back in the early 60s. This is in the John Glenn era. They are 3 brilliant women who are relegated really to being secretaries because they are women, because they are African-American. And the difference that they made in getting the space program off the ground is phenomenal. Janelle Monáe stars in the movie. Octavia Spencer, Taraji P. Henson is in the movie. And the 2 guests you're going to hear right now, Kevin Costner, who is sort of the director, and the director of the Institute, who sort of reluctantly takes a woman into his department, reluctantly takes an African-American woman, especially, into his department. And Jim Parsons, Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory, who really is kind of an awful racist, does not want a black person working, and woman, it's demeaning to these white guys, they don't want a black person working in their office. True story. It's not editorial comment. This is what really happened. I never knew this story even existed, and either did Jim Parsons or Kevin Costner.
Were you even aware of this whole story, this whole thing?
Not at all.
I was not.
Not at all.
I think everybody watching it won't be aware of it, which is kind of nice not to know too much about a movie and let it wash over you. I mean, sometimes we know too much about the movies we're walking into.
Yeah. And on the topic like space exploration, I think a lot of Americans feel they know most of what they need to know about it. I think that's what's so shocking about this. It's like, how have we heard about this all of our lives and not heard about this specific
You would have thought documentaries would have
that's exactly
filled
right.
that blank, and they didn't. So I think that's why it did catch us by surprise.
Yeah, as much as there has been, and with the death on the day recording this, it was the day after John Glenn died, that, you'd think that we knew everything about those early days, those, historic days when we were all glued to, the sets.
We handicap, we decide what stories we think America wants to watch. And when we actually throw that away, we're always, and we come back to a a story that has an arc, a beginning. This young girl at 8 years old who can't get into a white school, suddenly admitted into college because she's gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not about the space program. That's about, I'm thrilled about who this little girl is and how she was just touched by
human God. Opportunities,
you
yeah.
know? And
yeah.
to see her somehow, we don't have time in a two-hour movie to find
right.
her weave, but somehow people kept recognizing her along the way that led her to NASA.
Yep.
Yeah. Is it a little uncomfortable to play roles like this, Jim? I mean, it's just an acting job, but when,
yeah.
when like, you know, ugly actions and ugly right. words you're
well,
forced to portray, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
But I loved the story so much that I, any role, no matter how ugly, would have been important for me to take just to be a part of the telling of it. And the second thing was that, honestly, as much as I would never do and say some of the things that I get to do and say in the movie, it's actually fun to be in a friction sort of relationship with somebody. And like any time I was with Taraji in the film, it was enjoyable because we were kind of at loggerheads with each other. And there is joy in fighting, you know.
It's got to be kind of interesting, I would think, to like step into the kind of shoes that you would never normally walk in.
Yeah, it's
well,
fun
because
in that
embraced,
way.
Because he embraced it, it helped us. If Jim was like going, why do I got to be the heel
right.
in this movie? And instead of that going the other way, it gave something for Taraji to bounce off of.
Right.
It gave me something to try to get around.
Absolutely.
You know, but
informs
if it's just
else, yeah.
if it's
yeah.
just halfway, you know, the idea, you know, is to go for it,
right.
you know. And the movie was worth that in a sense that
that's exactly right.
The movie has that chance to be around for a long time.
Make them all human beings.
It's especially hard to hear Sheldon saying
yeah.
some of these things. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing or not. That, like, the moment that I see you in anything, no matter what it is, my first thought is bazinga, you know? Like,
sure.
One of the Sheldon
catchphrases.
Well,
it'll be that way for a lot of people, and it yeah. may be that way for some time, but, you know, all I can do is keep on keeping on, and then that'll either...
Is that, a good,
I think it was
is that a
really
good thing
good
to wear? Because you
Jim.
Probably had
yeah.
the same
really,
thing with
but,
Field of Dreams and roles that people instantly associate
I mean,
with
we saw it was difficult. When anybody creates an iconic thing in television, you are inside the rails of something.
Right.
And I think if Jim keeps picking roles this way, he takes control of his life. And he's so smart that he's a lead actor, but he will come and do a small part. That's a really smart thing. It tells you a lot about him. And you know, I see that a lot. And I think to myself, Jim, smart actor.
Thank you. You're smart, too.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Man, rocking your world this morning.
In a smoky room.
Yeah.
I smell of wine and cheap perfume.
Soon to be Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Journey.
Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The announcement yesterday, the actual induction will take place next April. So you got your Journey. You got your Electric Light Orchestra. How about that? Pearl Jam, also inducted this year. The group Yes, Joan Baez, Tupac Shakur, and Nile Rodgers, frontman from Chic, is getting a special music award with it all. Joining us on the line to talk about the inductions, our pal Greg Cott, the Tribune's music critic. Hello there, Greg. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Dean. How about yourself?
So what was your reaction when you heard the induction announcements yesterday?
Oh, you know, I long ago, Dean, I gave up feeling frustrated and disappointed in what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame electors decide, and I'm one of them. I actually get a ballot every year. I get to vote. They never pick my people, the ones that I want in. So, but, you know, I long ago gave up on a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or any kind of Hall of Fame really truly being representative of what it's supposed to, you know, represent the best of, whether it's baseball or rock. I think there's an element of sham about these institutions. It reflects the biases of the voters. But it also, when you think about something like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they're basically going for it's a popularity contest. and it's based on, okay, we're doing this TV show, and we want ratings, so we want bands that had hits that people will recognize. But in terms of the actual merits of the bands, I don't think much of the many of the nominees are of the people who are voted in this year.
For example, who do you think that got in who shouldn't have?
Well, you just played a band that doesn't belong in the Rock Hall of Fame. Journey was a second, third tier pop band, and I know they sold a lot of records, and there are people who love Journey. But in terms of the evolution of rock and roll, they were a blip. There are many bands who are on the same ballot that were not that were overlooked in favor of Journey. For example, a band like Kraftwerk, the German art rock band, had way more impact on the evolution of the music that we're hearing now than Journey ever will. It was interesting that they plucked Nile Rodgers out of Chic and gave him a special award, but didn't see fit to bring Chic into the Hall of Fame. Chic, a way more important band in the evolution of music than Journey or ELO, for that matter. Depeche Mode, another band that actually had a lot of hits, way more important in the evolution of music. I mean, I could go on and on. MC5, a band that wasn't on the ballot, The Replacements, they should have been in there. A band like The Cars that was not elected in had hits. Way more important in the evolution of music.
How do you feel about Joan Baez and Tupac? A lot of people saying neither one really is rock and roll.
Well, there you go. Now we're starting to parse definitions. Like, what is rock and roll? And does rock and roll mean guitar-based white guy music? if that's what it means, then Journey and ELO probably should be in there instead of ahead of somebody like Joan Baez or Tupac Shakur. But they've expanded their definition of rock music. I think I think what you're really talking about now is popular music, and it's still very much guitar-based. It's still very much white guy music because white guys primarily vote on the Hall of Fame. But if you're going to do a Hall of Fame that represents the most important music of the last half century in terms of popularity. You have to represent hip-hop. You have to represent electronic music. And Tupac Shakur definitely belongs in there. I think Joan Baez, as an influence, an important figure in music for the last half century, belongs in there. So, again, I haven't seen the concise one-paragraph definition of what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is supposed to, induct. And it seems to be like, we'll know it when we see it. It seems to be that kind of a category.
Yeah, I would suggest to them a name change for the Hall of Fame. I mean, really, it should be a Music Hall of Fame, more because the rock, calling it rock and roll, I think is what the problem is. There are, a Chaka Khan to me belongs in something, like that. Not really what you call rock and roll music.
I agree, and I think Dean, look at the way people are listening to music today. When you talk about people with music on their cell phones, it's from every genre. It's jumping around. I don't know too many people. I suppose there are people of a certain generation. Some of the later era baby boomers are still listening to a certain type of music that was made, say, in the 60s, and it's primarily guitar-based rock music. But anybody under the age of 40, and certainly under the age of 30, they're listening to a wide variety of music from a multiplicity of genres that they would call, it's their version of, as you said, music. It's sort of genre-less. It transcends genres. And I think for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to sort of keep up with what it purports to represent, it needs to broaden its boundaries in terms of what it inducts.
Always an interesting take on it all. As I said, the actual induction ceremony will take place in April. It'll be broadcast on HBO later on. Greg Kot is the music critic at the Chicago Tribune. Always great to talk to you, Greg. Very happy holidays. Happy New Year to you, my friend. We'll see you soon.
Same to you, Dean. Thanks for having me on the show.
Always a pleasure. 9:48, part two of my favorite A-list interview of the year. Next on WGN.
From the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Over the ottoman he goes. Talk to all the biggest stars in the world during this past year. talked to a lot of the classics this year as well. The great Clint Eastwood, the great Norman Lear. By far, my favorite interview of this year was when we took a trip out to Danville, Illinois, to talk with the great Dick Van Dyke. He was being honored by his old high school. He was raising money to restore the home in which he grew up in Danville, Illinois. I was being honored here in Chicago at the Walt Disney Home on the north side of Chicago. We talked about all of that, but also we talked about the things for which we know Dick Van Dyke most, his TV show, his many motion pictures, including the great Mary Poppins.
All my leading ladies, I've lucked out. Wonderful. Mary Tyler Moore and Julie Andrews. Everybody's just been a doll. I've never had to put up with one of those divas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think nice people beget nice people.
I hope you're right.
I think that's in my pleasure to have interviewed you on my radio show a couple of times. You've always been so nice. And
We've done before.
I mean, you've been interviewed a million times by people. I don't expect you to remember, but we've a couple of times that you've been in Chicago, we've had you at WGN. And you've done some stuff. I never expect anybody to remember after as many interviews as you must have done through the years, and as many times as you must have talked about the classic Dick Van Dyke show. But it's still amazing to me how it holds up and how timeless it is.
Yep, Carl Reiner, just brilliant. You know, at the very outset, he said, I don't care how silly you get, as long as it's credible, as long as there's a reason it happened. You know, I don't want any funny stuff for no reason. So he kept it credible, kept everybody believable. And, of course, the greatest cast that was ever put together. It was part of Maury Amson used to say, it's like going to a party every morning.
Yeah.
We rewrote all week, did a lot of improv. And it was just, I'd still be doing it if they'd let me.
Yeah.
I miss it.
You wanted to continue, didn't
you? Oh, I never wanted to stop.
It's CBS that wanted to stop. Well, and then they tried to blame it on you, didn't they?
That's
what I read in your book. They're trying to blame it on you, and you didn't want to stop.
No, Carl said at the beginning, 5 years would be it. He felt that you got repetitive after that. But look at shows that ran 11 years. And we could have gone on. The first year he wrote all 39 episodes by himself.
Wow.
Incredible. He's still, you know, he's 93 now, still got all his marbles, and is still writing.
Yeah. I follow him on Twitter. I don't know.
Oh, do you?
Are you on social media at all? Because I see the things that I think are you, but I follow Carl religiously.
Oh, yeah. He spends a lot of
time. Because he puts on such great things and interesting things.
He was like
things.
A father to me. He was my mentor.
Yeah. Have you ever had that kind of chemistry again with a cast, with a group of people? That seems like lightning in a bottle.
We were like an improv group. Somebody could give us a subject and we could do it without a script. It was just one of those great moments when everything was fun to do. The most creative 5 years of my life.
I love, we have shown on our morning TV show on WGN videos of you and your wife. And it was a bluegrass band. I don't recall the name of the band.
But the Dustbin Revival.
We've had them on the show.
The Dustbin Revival. Aren't they great?
We've had them. They're so fantastic.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything that we like more than watching you dancing around.
They came out to the house.
They came out to your house, and you were dancing. You still have your moves. You haven't slowed down a bit, it doesn't seem like.
Fred Astaire, when he was in his 80s. I said, can you still dance? He said, yeah, but it hurts now.
Yeah.
I said, I know what you mean.
Is that what your experience? But you really seem to love it and enjoy keeping very active. We see you in videos with these flash mobs where you've done Let's Go Fly a Kite and some of the outdoor things. You really still seem to love
it. I have a quartet, three guys half my age. And we do all the things from, Poppins. But we dance and everything. We're going to appear at the Tivoli in Chicago.
In Downers Grove.
When we're there.
Right.
I can't wait to. We're going to sing the Danville High School fight song. They don't think we know it. We're going to do it.
Can you give us a little preview of that right now?
There's a fight, Danville. Fight for Danville High. Spread fame and honor far and near. Fight, fight. Cheer with all your might. Cheer the team without a fight, without a might. So fight for the old Marine and white. We're always loyal to you. Fight, fight, cheer with all your might to HSBA, burn true. I want to sing that one with the quartet.
That's fantastic.
And we'll get everybody to join in. I want to surprise them with that one.
I'm just going to ask you one more thing. What you think of comedy today? So many, I interview so many people who have say how much they have patterned their careers after you. They look to you. They have tried to, you know, base their careers on you. You've been a big inspiration, too.
Man, I stole from Stan Laurel and Buster Keaton. I'm just passing it on.
Passing it on. What do you think of comedy today and, you know, like some of the people who are carrying the torch today? You're not.
I just say I don't get it. You know, I don't say it's not funny. I don't get it. There's so much canned laughter. I hear canned laughter from our old show that they sold. honest to God.
Wow.
They're only 20 minutes long now. They used to be 28 minutes.
Yeah.
So they have to get the story told. But nothing disturbs me like seeing somebody trying too hard to be funny. Do you know who Paul Dooley is? The character actor. He was in a million movies. Yeah. One of those people who does effortless comedy.
Mm-hmm.
He just did a one-man show, which I went to see. Wonderful. He's probably 85, but one of the real masters of comedy. You don't catch him at it, you know.
Yeah. Is there anybody that you like right now? Anybody that... I've interviewed the cast of Everybody Loves Raymond many times.
Yeah.
Phil Rosenthal.
The tall guy is...
Brad Garrett.
Good stand-up.
He has...
And, of course, so is Raymond.
Yeah.
So is Raymond.
But they based... Phil Rosenthal, the producer of that show, has told me they completely based everything on that show on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
No kidding.
Real situations, real things that the writers would bring in. That the producers would bring in, that their episodes were things that were happening in their own lives. It sounds
That's
like what you guys did.
An awful lot of our shows were based on things that happened to it.
Yeah.
I miss it. But I've done a couple of guest shots on sitcoms, and they're just deadly. Everybody just sits around waiting for the next shot. I mean, it was a party. We clowned forever.
Yeah.
We always came up with more material than we could use.
Right.
Somebody has a book called SOS, Some Other Show, of all the ideas we had that we never used.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I can still watch it, and I think everybody feels the same way. You know, can still watch it, even though we've seen them 1,000 times, and laugh our heads off.
Isn't that great?
Because of what you guys created. You still remember the words of the theme song, don't you? We know the instrumental, but...
Maury Damsman wrote them.
Yeah?
He never published them. As far as I know, he never licensed them. But I have the quartet singing, just because it's cute.
Could I get just a little preview?
I'm a little hoarse this morning. Said, so you think that you've got trouble? Well, trouble's a bubble. So tell old Mr. Trouble to get lost. Why not hold your head up high and stop crying? Start trying, and don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. When you find the joy of living is loving and giving, you'll be there when the winning dice are tossed. A smile is just a frown that's turned upside down. So smile on that frown or defrost, and don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. I don't fall down anymore.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
So much.
Thank you.
You are just the greatest.